fed up with the shabby state of some parts of the island, dismayed by the grout and litter you pass daily, angered by potholes or the decaying nature of our island's infrastructure. Well, what are you going to do about it? That's the challenge set by the Destination First Board, whose remit is to significantly improve the look of our island and to motivate us all to get involved in making the island a better place. In the interests of transparency, I should make clear that I am a member of the Destination First Board and was somewhat sceptical about its chances of success when I joined. The board's achievements are proving my scepticism to be unfounded. I caught up with some of the board members outside the new tram sheds at Derby Castle. To begin, board chair Ranald Caldwell explains why the board is needed.
I think it's bringing people to work collaboratively for the good of the island and putting the destination first in all that we do. And I think feedback and insights that we've captured not only in the local communities but within government suggest that we're not working as well as we could together to deliver economic efficiencies, increase higher service standards and indeed expectations. I think we just accept second best as being the norm, and the norm is no longer good enough. So we formed a board made up of politicians, local authorities, central government departments, champions from the local community to work together to see how we can actually change not only the service culture on the island but the way we think of it socially in our day-to-day lives. And the important thing for me is that Tynwald are unanimously supportive of what we're doing. Comyn have reviewed our findings that we did over the first 4 months, and their direction was quite clear: get on and make it happen. So that's what we're doing. And you will not see as much, but we're there to facilitate conversations to make things happen, and that's what we're doing.
And Sarah, we mentioned, or you mentioned there, that Tynwald is on board with this. Getting all the agencies of government to work collaboratively for the greater good, that'll never catch on, will it?
Well, it is. It is already catching on. We're already starting to see some results of that working together. You know, it's so important that we are actually all in the same room discussing these matters, and I think that's what the Destination First Board actually brings. It's all well and good all being in your own departments and your own divisions and all separated, but actually coming together and, you know, being able to communicate those ideas and share ways of being able to find solutions is the most important thing. This isn't just a talking shop, this is about a doing, and that's what's so important about this board.
And I guess many of the agencies of government will say part of the reason that place isn't maybe looking as good as it should be is because of lack of resource. Is that addressed by the board?
I think what we should just get into context as well is that we do live on a beautiful island. You know, there's plenty of things that are very good about this island, and we are very proud to be all part of the board and to live here. We just want it better, that's all. So the resource and the people who are already out there doing this job are doing a cracking job. All we're saying as a board is, have you thought about maybe tackling this issue that's been long standing? You know, just because it's been on the log for 10 years doesn't mean it's gone away. You know, in fact, we need to get on with bringing that to the top of the list to get it sorted, because it's these little things, that these niggles, that really annoy people and just think, why is that not being fixed yet, you know? And I think that's what's important about this board, is it's about saying, you know you're doing a great job, we know you have your pull from pillar to post, dealing with all sorts of priorities, but actually this is what matters to the people of the Isle of Man. This is what would make them happier, this is what makes them feel that they belong and makes them feel that they should be proud of their island, and I think it's just bringing those issues to the forefront, and that's what we hope to achieve.
And Ranald, you have had some assurances that if lack of resources identified as the core problem, that more resource will be placed in the direction of the problem, provided Destination First Board can put forward a reasonable case.
Yes, as with all things, it's actually capturing an understanding of what needs to be fixed, and for me it's actually what synergies can we deliver by working a lot smarter together, getting it right first time, because I think those savings can go towards some of the funding. So for example, we have reached an agreement with the prison, so they're providing two or three gangs of prisoners to work with us on various community-based projects. We're using, hopefully, their workshops. Max National Heritage will be using those, so there'll be no time costs involved with that. And it's working to free up those funds. So We estimate that beach bodies is worth about £500,000 by way of volunteer value in the local economy. The new destination, or Community First volunteers, will be worth about £1.1 million in terms of resource. So it's actually using those resources to actually make the case for investment. And I think in many cases, a lot of the stuff that we've been alluding to, and Sarah has mentioned, can be done just with a different change of mind, having a service culture. We've talked about in the board the signage on the front of the main government building on Prospect Hill. When you actually go and look at it, it's quite disgraceful, and it needs to be addressed. So the people that go in and out of that building shouldn't walk past it anymore. They should be doing something to address it. Charles and I were down here last week at the Douglas Horse Tram at Derby Castle, and there was bins littered all the way down Strathallan. We phoned up Cathy Rice, who's the Chief Executive of Douglas City Council. We made aware of it, had a chat. 3 days later, notices were served, and all bins are now off the pavement. A very simple fix. And we've got about 20 examples of where we've been able to do something at no cost at all. So there'll be a need in certain cases to ask for more money. But I think this is all about attitude of mind and instilling a service culture within the island population.
And Deborah Heather, you're what I would describe as the head of the tourist board. What's your actual title?
CEO of Visit Isle of Man.
There we go. Well,
I was pretty close.
So. I guess most people would understand why it's important then to have Destination First Board going round, looking at how the Isle of Man looks, particularly in the eyes of someone who's relatively new to the island and doesn't quite understand where everything is. And at times you look around it and find that the place is quite confusing.
I'd absolutely agree with that. I think it's quite difficult. This initiative came from one in Visit, actually, in the first place. And we called it Visitor First. But actually, it's not about visitors. It is much more about the residents. Anything that benefits a resident benefits a visitor. But yes, we want to make it clearer for anybody that's on the island. We want to be... we want to help them with their journey. We want them to experience it the best they possibly can. There's so much to enjoy here. And really, that's the motivation of the whole board, I think. It's one of those boards where we've seen a really cohesive way of working straight off. I think there's some real momentum. And it's just really exciting. And obviously, from my perspective, from my day job, it will all be beneficial to visitors.
And one of the community champions, and indeed name dropped by the chair, was Charles Gard. Charles, you wrote a fairly pointed paper relating to where we're standing. So where are we at the moment?
We are at Derby Castle, and I was fairly appalled by the state of it. Can I just say, we've only been doing tourism for about 180 years. So it really is time that we got this right. I've been following this, as probably you have, since the late 1970s. The discussions we're having here today are discussions we've heard again and again and again and again. How difficult is it to just tidy the place up? That's really what my message has been, and I made a couple of videos pointing that out, and I think it's because of that I was punished by being put on this committee as a people's champion. And what I've discovered is that we talk a lot, and gradually things are getting done, but as you said to me when you were a minister years ago, there's no point in dumping piles more work on the civil servants. They're only ordinary people, and they'll, you know, get crushed under it. So you can only do so much at a time. But with Ranald and the team here, I mean, Ranald is an absolute live wire. He's not going to be put down by anything. We are going to get these things done. And he also was horrified by the state of Derby Castle. The road here, it's got this coal tarmac on it. And you, as a former DOI minister, must know that now you're not allowed to touch that. But since 2023, the DOI have been saying how they're going to deal with it, or promising that they'll tell us. And even the minister's been asking, and it's still here. So it's things like that. When you sit on a committee, I'm not a minister, I'm not a civil servant, it can be very frustrating. What I'd like to do is have a hit committee, a hit squad that just went round and we just painted those railings. We didn't ask anyone, we didn't whinge about it, we just did it, like beach buddies do. That's really what we need, and let's get on with it.
And the coal tower you refer to wouldn't be a problem if it was complete, but it's gradually disintegrating.
It's gradually disintegrating, and it does need to be hacked up and disposed of. But because it's toxic, it can't be disposed of on the Isle of Man. But as I understand it, all the stuff from the incinerator chimney gets shipped off the island to, licensed disposal sites in the UK. Why can't this? I mean, it's easy for me to say it. I don't know what the answer is. But just look at this. As I say, here at Derby Castle, we have two of the most important heritage railways in the world. And if you're ever down here through the summer, there are tens of thousands of people here. And it's a mess. And why would the Isle of Man be like that? I'm fed up with saying it. People are fed up with hearing me say it, but I just have to keep on.
And one of the ironies, I guess, for you is that the two most talked about videos you've ever produced are about how bad the state of the island is. And yet you've made these wonderful films about how good various aspects of the island are. Does it grig a little bit that the only ones that people seem to really want to talk about are the what's wrong with the island?
Well, yes. Well, what does that say? I don't know. Actually, not wanting to go on about this, but the one I did on Castle Russians had 1.2 million views, and the one on the bank vault in Castletown, 1.4 million. But you're right, in recent years, the negative ones, and I don't want them to be negative, I'm trying to point out, saying this doesn't have to be like this, can we just get this right? They do seem to get passed around much more than the rather pretty ones that I do.
And Sarah, we are standing opposite the Douglas Bay Horse Tramway. That's a bit of a mouthful. The tram, the old tram sheds, which has been refurbished and looks really, really well. So government can invest in these things if it wants to.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of this does come down to people getting in touch and, you know, the like we said before, about the sentiment of how people feel about these kind of things. And so government will invest in maintaining our heritage sites. However, it doesn't ever seem to be enough, you know, and I think that's probably one of the issues. And what matters to me might be different to somebody else. And I think government has that unenviable task of trying to work out, well, what is it that people actually want? And that's, you know, that's the age-old question, like, you know, what do you want us to do first? We've only got a certain amount of money, but we understand that actually what matters to people is maintenance and looking after what's so special about the Isle of Man. Otherwise, we could just be anywhere. You know, what's special about the Isle of Man is what makes us unique is our horse tramway, and that's one of the things that makes us so unique. So, of course, we want to preserve it and maintain it, but that's my opinion.
And I guess the problem that government has is the things that people want are by far outweigh the resource that's available to provide them.
Yeah, it absolutely, and that, I think that's always been the problem. And when obviously we're in a time where we have lots of challenges and lots of difficult decisions to make, and the last thing I want to see though is that the heritage and culture and what makes the Isle of Man special is just put to the bottom of the pile. In fact, if you don't look after that, then you lose it forever. And that's probably the most important message that you need to get out there. Like, this is so easily can be taken away from us, and all we're trying to do is maintain it and make it look nice again and keep it and look after what we have, what makes us special, because if we don't, it will just be it's so easy just to say, actually, the priority is over here, X, Y, and Z, and what's, you know, and this doesn't feature. But for me and for the people that I do have met in this job, it actually really is important. And so for me, it's one of the biggest priorities for the government that the government should be focused on.
And I guess, Charles, one of the things that the excellent new tramway offices and tram sheds does is highlight just how bad the forecourt and the area surrounding it actually is.
Well, let me just say about this shed, it's not been refurbished, it's completely rebuilt. There used to be the Strathallan suite upstairs. In fact, I have happy memories of being hauled in front of the Murray Inquiry as a former member of the planning committee there. It's been completely rebuilt and it is absolutely stunning. They could have put some wood effect plastic shed there, but they didn't. They did it properly and it's iconic, and it just shows we can do things right. And here's one of the oldest trams in the world coming in front of it. But as you say, in front of this is this desperate mess of tarmac. Look at the planters with the flowers on. They're all broken and messed. There's no signage telling you where to go. It's just, I don't know, how can you excuse that? It just needs doing. It's not that difficult. They've taken the old lamppost down that were here a few months ago that were all broken, and the three legs have been nicked off the top, put into the sale room. But anyway, it just needs tidying up. And of course, the backdrop is the remains of the Summerland site with people living in motorhomes on there. I mean, that, what is ever going to, how is that a prime development site? Is anyone ever going to do anything about this?
And Ranald, I suppose the answer is some things already have been done, because one of the things that you highlighted in the report to the Destination First Board was the redundant lighting poles, and they've been removed.
Yeah. And Charles referenced Summerland. We do have interested parties coming together, and we're facilitating a meeting with DOI, Douglas City Council, the Business Agency and Destination First. We have been in dialogue with the Manx Development Corporation, and we'll be looking to see what's possible on the site. It's lain barren for too long. It's in a terrible mess. All types of vehicles are parked there during the year, and it's basically an open-air shed where redundant tools and barriers are left. So we will be coming back with a recommendation as to what the options are for the site, whether it's a full build and stabilisation of the wall, or just turning it into a grassed area for use by residents and visitors.
Why is it taking government so long? And I kind of know part of the answer to this, but I'm putting you on the spot. Why does it take government so long to sort what is still referred to as a prime development site like this out?
I think government is very busy. The departments have their own priorities, so it's maybe not the top priority. And I think it does take a different way of looking at things. I think the Destination First Board, or almost agents, have changed, looking at issues or blots in the landscape and not accepting we're not doing anything with it, but to say there are options, whether that be here, whether it be the bungalow at Snaefell, etc., etc. There are a number of areas that need to be addressed, and we're undertaking site visits and making recommendations. And that's what we'll do in relation to Summerland, as we've done with Derby Castle itself. So I'm quite hopeful that at least we'll have into view what can be done, and it's whether the appetite is there to do it.
And we've just missed the tram by the look of things, so we'll not be travelling along to Laxey. How confident are you, though, that Destination First Board isn't going to be just another talking shop? I mean, yes, there's been some small victories so far, but the reality will be the Isle of Man looking substantially better in a year or so's time.
I think for me, the Destination First Board is a bit like the tide. It's going to keep on coming in until we get some progress. We're giving Charles and others the opportunity to be our conscience, to highlight what's right and what's wrong. If we look at how we live as an island, we've got no social codes by way of countryside code, litter codes, etc., etc., to live by those standards. And I think if we can, and we're working with government OHR and local authorities to say, how can we change the attitude and mindset of people, politicians, and indeed senior executives and staff about the way they look and appear? And I said, that doesn't cost a lot. It's just it's a mindset change. Ideally, should Destination First, how long should it last? It'll be there as long as it takes till that is embedded in, and then we can withdraw. But when we do that, there's going to be service KPIs in place for not only local authorities and local government departments to say, look, are we improving? We've just recently carried out a resident sentiment survey to get the views of residents, as we did with local authorities and central government, and some of those findings have been quite telling, and we'll be using those as a benchmark to show that improvement is being made. But we're here to stay. It's not an agency that's here, has to write a report. It's more of a movement. It's a state of mind. So,
is effectively you're talking about a kind of a cultural change, a shift in mindset across all public agencies and indeed across I guess the Manx public, rather than pointing out that there's a bit of litter lying on the street outside the house, pick the piece of litter up and sort, and the jobs are good.
It's as simple as that, and as Mrs. Maltby's really alluded to, this island is a special place. One of the questions that was asked in the resident sentiment survey was to ask residents to actually tell us what their special place was. We had 110 special places mentioned on the island. 35 of those were the whole island. So there is a love. It's just how we appear and look after this wonderful place that we live to make it even more special. So I don't think it's that difficult. It's a mindset change.
And you're clutching in your hand a piece of paper, I guess, that has results of some of the survey. So it would be wrong of me not to give you the opportunity to mention
very
it.
Very kind of you, Phil. But for the listeners, I'd just like to think of the one vote that really did please me most, and that was yourself. When we did put out sort of expressions of interest to local authorities to join the board. And I think it's fair to say that you thought that you'd probably pass on the opportunity as Russian Arbery was probably viewed as the best on the island. I think your words. But I think when Charles and I had a chat with you, you know, I think there was a belief from you that change can happen and it doesn't have to be, you know, a magic wand. It's just slow and steady pace and demonstrate by our actions and not our words. We're not a talking shop and you'll see it. But you won't hear from us. It'll be the departments and the local authorities that we've helped. So in terms of the results, they are in draft format.
You're
so
opening the brown envelope,
yes,
now, and in reverse
and the
order.
Is, this is one that, as you can tell by my accent, that I'm not from the Isle of Man, but I consider myself Manx, being here 31 years. But how proud are you of the island? I would say I'm 100% proud of this island. It really is. My nationality is almost Manx. That's how I feel. But when we asked the question, and the 1,609 respondents, 50% agreed with that view, that they loved the Isle of Man a lot or a great deal. But 49% said there was a little, and 15% said not at all. So those will be the sort of KPIs that we're putting into view to say, how can we influence that feeling? Are we not listening? When it comes to communication, 70% of people knew where a problem might be solved. Over half the population didn't know where to report an issue or a problem. So if we can open up those channels of communication so we capture the feedback, we respond to it, the good and the bad, then I think there'll be a higher level of trust in us as a government. Some of the key issues seem to be, the number one by far was highways and footpaths, followed by parking, parks and recreation, and public rights of way. So not what we were expecting at all. Accessibility was considered to be good at 73%, but that meant 27% believe we should do more. And maybe that's reflective of the profile of the Isle of Man. And then special places I've mentioned. So the report will be finalised by the end of this month. It will be published, so it will be going out by way of communication via Deborah's team. With some observations and recommendations as to how we're going to use this information to demonstrate that we understand what's right and wrong from a resident's perspective and going about addressing them.
And Deborah, I mean, you, I guess, will have on the tip of your tongue all the stats relating to why people come to the Isle of Man. I mean, what are the reasons that people visit the island?
60% of the people come for doing things outdoors, walking, going to the glens, looking at the views in the sea, that sort of stuff. Roughly about 25% for Manx National Heritage, again about the same sort of amount for the railways, and then the same sort of for motorsport. But actually, in conjunction with what Ranald was saying, what I think is the important score is the 98.7% of visitors are satisfied or very satisfied. So from the outside in, people think we're amazing. It's just, how do we get that pride back in the people that are here? Because the more we do, the more visitors we'll get, the happier everybody will be. They'll contribute to the local economy. And I you can't help but think that this is a movement to make things better. So we've got a great product, full stop. We can just improve things for everybody.
And I guess you know, if we look back at when the tourist industry was at its height, everyone felt as though they were a part of it and had a part to play in making it as good as possible. You know, if there was a bewildered looking visitor walking along a road somewhere, offers of lifts would be given, directions would be given, suggestions and where to eat, all of that sort of thing. Do you think as a population we've kind of lost that involvement?
No, I think there's a real authenticity around the way people deal with visitors here. It's incredible. Ranald always talks about getting the best linen out and the best china out when you've got people here. But actually, people do it naturally. They're warm, they're welcoming. We don't get resistance in terms of tourism. I think, for example, our cruise ships, we have volunteers that meet our cruise ships. I'd like to see them all part of that extraordinary story, that piece that is the Isle of Man's authenticity, that it's the specialness of the place. We had over the weekend 4 articles in major papers, in the Irish Times, in the Daily Mail, the Daily Express, and in the Telegraph. And it's, the interest about the island is really growing. We can see that people are really getting excited about it. But we all need to embrace it and work together. I think it's there at the core. It's just how do we galvanise it and get that momentum.
We've got lots of examples where the community does pull together and make things happen. I mean, we're standing obviously next to the junction between the horse trams and the electric trams. There's an awful lot of volunteers get involved with this.
There certainly are, and many of our heritage attractions wouldn't work without them. You were mentioning a moment ago the Ramsey Pier before we started talking, and that's a typical example of someone saying this just cannot be allowed to rot away. And the government hasn't got the money. It could be millions of pounds, I don't know. Probably you were involved as a minister at some point. And so they're doing a stunningly professional job. It's just fantastic. And everyone's really behind them. But all the little railways, they're all run by volunteers. And the main railways are not run by volunteers, but a lot of volunteers do stunning work restoring and painting. They dedicate their lives to them. And if you go into this shed here and look at the horse trams, it is the best collection anywhere in the world of horse-drawn vehicles of this type. They are in exquisite condition. And we do owe the volunteers an enormous amount for that.
Well, you mentioned Queen's Pier Ramsey. Yes, indeed, I was the minister, and when Tom Durrant, the founder, or one of the founders anyway, of the current movement that's involved in the restoration of the pier, he came in and spoke to us in the department. And the officer said, yes, but this fella, I mean, he's an old man, there's no way he can sort this out. To which I said, but we're not doing anything, and he's offering, so let's make it happen. And from then, the Queen's Pier Restoration Trust have done a tremendous job.
And one mustn't forget the Camera Obscura, for example. Now, that was restored, thank goodness, but it was at huge expense, and I just don't think anyone wanted to operate it a civil servant at the weekend. So in came the Victorian Society, and they do a brilliant job keeping it going, because that is unique in the world. And then you've got all the small museums like the Aviation and the Peel Museum and Nocalo and so on. These are all run by volunteers, and they're done to an extraordinarily high standard, because a lot of these volunteers are actually experts. They really are. They've had careers in the military or in aircraft and whatever. They really do know what they're talking about, and the quality of their displays is absolutely stunning. So we really need to be very grateful to them all.
And of course that was the Camera Obscura was one of Pam Crowe's interventions. Pam gave us the energy from Waste Plant and the Camera Obscura.
Well, we've got a lot to thank her for, really, haven't we?
Sarah, I mean, you've got an involvement in the heritage and culture parts of government. What exactly are your roles now?
Oh, goodness, have we got time? So I'm a trustee in the Manx National Heritage, I'm a trustee in the Manx Lottery Trust, I'm a departmental member for the Department for Enterprise and Department for Education, Sport and Culture, chair of the Arts Council. It goes on, Phil, to be honest. Yeah, I've got quite a lot of jobs, but then I'm a a can-do kind of person. So if I'm offered something and I feel like I add value to it, I'll obviously always say yes and just try my best to try and help.
And of course, this demonstrates how that kind of public-private partnership thing works in the island. The Lottery Trust in particular is fundamental in ensuring that charities can continue to do the great works that they do to support the Isle of Man, to make the Isle of Man more interesting, to promote all the various aspects of the island.
Yeah, absolutely. The Manx Lottery Trust has been a real jewel in the crown, really. I have really enjoyed being a trustee for the Manx Lottery Trust, and we've been had the opportunity to meet so many different groups across the island. Like we said, we are here trying to organise government and local authorities and try and get people working together, but actually there's so many community groups, as I already alluded to, with the volunteer groups across the island doing a fantastic work. They just need that little bit of support, and that's what the Manx Lottery Trust steps in to help. And we've helped with playground equipment, we've helped with the Groundhog Glen Railway, we've helped with the Moray Memorial for Fields, we've had lots of different projects across the island. And in fact, you know, people are often too, they're a bit shy about coming forward, you know, they feel like they can't ask, and that Manx Lottery Trust is definitely saying, please ask. If you've got a community project, come and ask us and we can see what we can do to try and support it, because that is a great way to be able to support quickly. Like we've mentioned lots of times, government wants to help, but actually the priorities and the workload is a far different beast, really, whereas the Manx Lottery Trust can get that funding out, and the Isle of Man Arts Council can get the funding out a little bit quicker and to be able to support community projects around the island.
And I guess part of the problem that we'll have as a Destination First board is a level of professional jealousy. There will be various officers working in departments around government, or many of whom, if they had the budget, would be delighted to be able to do a lot of the things that we're talking about. But effectively, as we know, across government, budgets have been really stretched and pulled back over many years. How do we make sure that the work of the Destination First Board doesn't come over as being a threatening to the existing workforce?
Oh, I can't see how people would think that. I mean, I think, like Ranald has already said, people already do think the Isle of Man is a really lovely place. It's just that we want to make it a little bit better. And I think civil servants actually feel the same. You know, I've not met one yet who I felt it shouldn't be in the job. I feel like people are trying to do the best for the island. They might have a funny way of doing it sometimes and a funny way of approaching it, but you know, as long as we get to the end goal, I think that's what we need to work to. That's what we need to remember, that people are generally working towards the same means. It's just getting there sometimes can seem a little bit confusing, and I think that's what's good about the Destination First Board. It's trying to give some clarity to that and just say, you know, that's great, but you know, while you've got that job ongoing, why don't you do X, Y, and Z at the same time, rather than scheduling them in for further down the year. Maybe we can get those jobs done at the same time. And I think that's trying to be a bit more efficient and, like I said, a bit working a bit more smarter. But I don't think there's anybody who wouldn't want to see the Isle of Man do better, because if it works for us all, then that's only gotten me a good thing.
And Ranald, I felt you were itching to come in on that point. Or was I wrong?
I was just itching, I think, Phil. No, all the departments that have been involved have been open. Some were enthusiastic than others, but I think it's like everything else. We're a noise until we can actually demonstrate that we're adding value, that we aren't a threat, and we're here to support in every way, which shape, form, even if it's writing business cases. But at least we're bringing people together to have the conversation of what could, or what the art of the possible could be, rather than accepting it as the norm and we can't do anything. So it's been very encouraging. The one thing I've been super uplifted by has been the welcome we've got from local authorities, not only in terms of the insight, but in their desire to make change, to work together. And we've been involved in many conversations, from dog fouling in Port St Mary to the state of the tram station in Ramsey. So we've been everywhere. And I think everybody wants to join in and get that support. So we're getting a growing level of interest in what we're doing, support even. I presented to the Rotary 2 weeks ago in Russian and Western man, and they're doing a lot of good things for the community. And the obvious question was, could we work in partnership with Destination First to achieve the common goal? And the answer is quite simply, yes, we are, and we'll grow wider associations. So we will demonstrate, and but through demonstration, people will be more trusting in actually, you know, getting involved and knowing that we can deliver value to them on the ground rather than being a threat.
Why are we involving ourselves with local authorities? I mean, you kind of understand the central government side, but what role does a local authority play in all of this?
I think for me, we start with residents. We've captured the initial residents' insights. It's very much about community, and I think local authorities are very close to their community, how it works, and we've captured your insights. I think that you are very much the agent on the ground to report to us what needs to change. And the five representative local authorities on the board are beginning to demonstrate that, whether it's looking at efficiencies, sharing best or identifying and sharing best practice across the island. I know that you're going to be working on behalf of the board to go out and interface with all each local authority and say, look, how can we work better together? So have a sort of sense of input into what the future might look for you. And I think the success of this will be at local authority level, because I think that's where your finger's on the pulse, whether it be from gutter cleaning, whether it be hedge trimming, etc., etc. Those are the things that matter. And I say, I think you can probably answer that question, because I wouldn't say you are a sceptic, but hopefully you're beginning to see that there is traction, there is a hunger and a desire and a passion from all to make a difference. And I think that's the difference for me.
And it is fair to say that I was quite sceptical when we first received obviously I'm not just a presenter on Manx Radio, I also clerk Arbury and Rushen Parish Commissioners, and we were contacted by the Destination First Board, and I probably sent an email back saying something along the lines of another talking shop, we haven't really got time for that, we've got important stuff to get on with. But you're not one that takes no for an answer.
We're like the tide. We'll keep on coming in. I suppose we're the conscience of everybody, and pointing out what could be or the state of something. Because if you see something and it's substandard, it does become the norm, and you just accept that as being the norm. But we are beginning to push that paradigm back. We've seen improvements in various spots across the island where it's been raised, and we've worked in partnership with the local authority. We've had support from DOI and DEFA to make a difference, and other non-government organisations. So it's more, I would say, it gets back to, we're a movement. It's a, you know, the way we think and the way we demonstrate, you know, our love for this place.
And there is that community blindness thing too, isn't there? The example we've already mentioned was the entrance to government office. Hundreds of people walk past that entrance on a daily basis, many of whom have the ability to remove the piece of A4 paper pointing downward saying post your letters here, and it points to a brick wall. These sorts of things, which if you happen to be one of the people who wanted to post something and came across that rather unfortunate sign, these are the sorts of things that irritate people. How is it that we don't see these things?
We become blind to it, really. And it's when you apply fresh sort of vision or view from others in the board, particularly Charles, who's a wizard with the camera, you begin to see it slightly differently. You walk the way of the visitor or the resident to say, well, what would you think of this place? I mean, the island's great, but there are little things that niggle me, whether it be mileage signs with two posts and 3 foot above the actual sign itself. There's things that just need some attention. And I think if we can bring that into how they're constructed in the first place, then that would be better for us all. And it's working with the community, it's working with the skills board that we did in relation to working with the prison to see if we can actually be part of the rehabilitation program for prisoners, teaching them skills that might be lost eventually in Manx culture, whether it be thatching, dry stone walling, etc., etc. I know that hopefully they'll be making all the old gates around the island and doors for Manx National Heritage sites. What a wonderful way to to bring people and rehabilitate them, but give them a skill at the same time so they can become employable and valuable to the Manx community. I think it's very much part of our biosphere credentials as well, as looking at not only after our island, but after our people.
And effectively, what we're asking from local authorities, you could equally ask for any community group or indeed individual, have a look at your, in local authorities' position, we're asking them to look at their area of responsibility, whether that be a parish or a town or a village. Have a look, go around the place with a critical eye, and then identify what needs to change, and also identify, is there more chance of it getting done if we actually sort the problem out than ask the responsible agency of government to deal with it?
I think it's what best fits. If we take the mileage markers, for example, which keep on being played out, they're in a terrible state in some of the parishes. So do we have a group within the local community ranger force that we're establishing to do that task? What are the health and safety issues of doing that? But there are certainly things that can be done that are just a sort of the hygiene factors of looking after yourself. These are done every March. The ferry bridge, for example, was not being refurbished. And we were written to last year by a local resident to say, well, are we going to tidy up one of the key visitor spots at the ferry bridge? Well, everybody ran for cover, local authorities and the other, DOI, to say, well, it's not on the asset register. Well, DOI within 2 days come back and were very helpful to say, it's on our asset register. They painted it in 2 days, and lo and behold, they painted it again this year before the TT. So those little things, where we brought it to their mind, they've just done it. And that's what we're doing all the time. So hats off and thanks to DOI for that one.
Sarah, I think, were you trying to come in
there? Yeah, I was just going to add, about being connected to the community. Obviously, I do a community newsletter every summer, and in that summer letter, this for my constituents, I put in there where you can report matters to. But quite often, people just think, there's no point, what's the point of reporting it? But you really do need to use those mechanisms to be able to get the answer, to get your problem seen. I really enjoy doing my community newsletter. I knock on every door every summer. I had to start earlier and earlier every year now, because people now know that actually getting some results, because they report things. So for example, the Canberra at Skewer, we were just talking about that before, there's a stone just outside of it. Like, one of my constituents said, can you get that repainted? It's a mess. Got it repainted, got it sorted. There's plaques and memorials around the island that just seem to get put up, everyone celebrates it, and then they just get forgotten about. So the Guthrie's Memorial that was raised at one of the Destination First board meetings, reported it through to the motorsport team, they got up there, they got it sorted out. These things can happen. If you just got to talk, I think it's sometimes you think these things, but you don't feel like there's any point reporting it, but there is. I'm very well connected to my constituents, and they definitely tell me what they think needs to be changed. But I think we just need to make sure get everybody out there knocking on doors every summer, and not just sort of wait for election year.
And I seem to remember, as DOI minister, getting quite frustrated that people would complain about the inability of the DOI to respond to various things. And then I would say, well, have you actually reported that this pothole or that particular problem? Oh, no, it's a waste of time reporting it because nothing ever gets done. Well, actually, if you report...
Exactly, if you report it, that you've got more chance of it getting done if it just then, rather than it just sitting in your phone. Like, my phone used to be full of pictures of my children and lovely days out. Now it's full of potholes, hedges, litter. Litter's a big one. I do what I can with my kids as well, because I think as a parent, I've obviously got responsibility to pass on about how you look after and cherish your island, rather than not just as a politician. This is actually, we've all got to take responsibility in some small way, even if it's just getting a litter picker and getting a bag and going around and doing a little bit yourself. That all counts. It makes children realise actually what's so important. And if we don't look after what we have, then it'd be a very sad day if we didn't continue to have such a beautiful island.
And I'm going to ask you all now, because we are coming towards the end of the programme. I've mentioned that I was a little cynical when the first contact came through. I'm starting to come round. I'm Manx, so cynicism lurks very close to the surface in most of what I do. But I'm coming round. Deborah, what do you hope that the Destination First Board will achieve?
I think it's getting people to work together for me. I think it's that collaboration piece. We're too siloed. We're not, as Sarah's just said, about taking responsibility for where we live and working together and improving things. I feel like it is a movement. Ranald's always called it a movement. And it's just, if we start that momentum, which I feel like, I don't know what you guys thought about the last board meeting, which wasn't very long ago, but I came out of that really uplifted. I actually felt, look, there's a group of like-minded people here really trying to make some stuff happen. And actually, look at that, there's some results. So for me, it is about, it's almost a slight change in culture, but it's only enhancing what's already there in the first place.
Charles, you are also are Manx and have a hint of cynicism in everything you do.
In everything I do, right.
Well, I don't know. Maybe not everything. What do you hope? Where were you when you joined the board, and are you in an improved position?
Yes, in a very improved position, because, let's face it, who else is doing this? There is no one else doing this. It's Ranald who's pulled this team together with Deborah. They're doing a fantastic job. We're all trying to persuade members of government, the politicians and the civil servants and everybody else to try and get these problems sorted. That's what I've been trying to do for ages, and now we've actually got an official committee, so let's get on with it.
Sarah, are you optimistic?
Oh, I'm always optimistic, always trying to stay positive. There's too many people saying no, naysayers, and people saying we can't do it. There's no point. Why bother? But, you know, you've got to be positive. You've got to be fresh and have fresh ideas and come up with solutions. Just it's too easy to whinge and moan. What's actually more rewarding is actually going out there and actually achieving things and actually stay positive, stay optimistic. I think that's the best way.
And finally, the chair, Ranald. What did you say to the Council of Ministers? What were the outcomes that you promised? And are you optimistic that they'll be delivered? I guess I know the answer to the last one will be yes.
I think for me, when the board got together, we kept to a timeline of actually capturing all the relevant insights within 4 months. So it wasn't a talking shop. We captured it, we made recommendations of change that were required, not only with what we saw, but in how government was framed, how they were to be supportive of what we're doing, both in terms of delivering the island plan. Our public service was very much central to how government should interface with the general public. And we learned a lot through that insight process. So we then said change will happen. And these are the programmes that we'll be undertaking in the next 12 months, and there was 10 of them, and we're halfway through those. So I think they're beginning to, whilst they said get on and deliver, and I think delivery is a big issue for everybody, words are one thing, delivery is another, I think they're beginning to see that the green shoots, that things are changing, that people are talking. You've asked to do this radio interview. So I think it's, if we had rushed at it and made a big fanfare announcement too soon, which Deborah was always erring against, we would probably have fallen flat on our face. We are delivering, and we're showing that change will happen and can happen with a little bit of thought, and then we're building on that and gathering further momentum, and that could be seen through the support we've got from local authorities, local community groups, etc., etc. So I am confident that we're heading in the right direction. I'd always like to do it quicker and faster, but that's just the nature of the beast. We will do a good job, and then hopefully it will become the norm.
And if anyone is listening and thinking to themselves, actually, you know what? This sounds like a great idea. This sounds like something I'd like to get involved with. What can they do? How can they get in touch, I suppose, in the first place?
Well, I'd love to hear from them. We're obviously been gathering together people who are interested in forming up a community ranger group, so we'll be very interested to hear from them. Sarah referenced the report of problem, as did you. That's been one of the highlights, that 52% of the public didn't know how to report an issue. And what we've seen from our insight works, whilst DOI have got a report of problem system, there are varying degrees of capturing customer insights which aren't really getting to the nub of things quickly enough. So what we're doing, we're building a new front end which will sit on top of all systems, and that means that the issue will get to the right place. So my call to the general public is, listen to what we've been doing, go online and see the various videos and documentation has been issued. If you're interested, look at the board meeting and the minutes. But do look at your area. How can you support locally on a volunteer basis? What can you do personally in terms of issues regarding mess and thing? Or if there's particular issues you'd like to raise, write to me, but put it in through Report a Problem, and that means we've captured it. Because it's okay complaining to yourself, but unless we hear, it doesn't give us the ammunition to deliver change.
And you mentioned a couple of times there, write to me. How do they do that?
Well, my government email address is Ranald, R-A-N-A-L-D dot Caldwell, C-A-L-D-W-E-L-L, at gov.im.
So what do you think? Could we actually create the cultural change needed to make the island a better place? Would you be willing to join in guerrilla rail painting, litter picking or tree planting? Is it time to accept that government can't do all this without our help? Don't forget, this programme is available as a podcast on Manx Radio's website. I'm Phil Gorn. Goramayos and Geisiachrom. Thanks for listening.